My name is Robert Beards. Everyone calls me Bob. I was born in 1939. That makes me a war baby. And I was born in Hyde Terrace Hospital in Leeds to a beautiful, lovely, lovely mother who also came from Unslet. And my father was a Yorkshire miner, born and bred from a very, very big mining family. The Beards family originated from Staffordshire, more or less Wolverhampton area. Big, big family, maybe 12, lots of brothers all over the place. They were always miners and they worked in what we call bell pits in Staffordshire. These bell pits were owned by individual owners and they were set about, really, a teepee. It looked like a teepee with a rope on it, and they'd dig a pit, and if they got to clay, they had to mine the clay, and the owners would sell it to the pottery industry. If they went down further and found another, in other words, it was not always coal. If they got to the coal, it was gold dust. They were only as deep as what the open cast kind coal mines go to now. They weren't what we call deep mines at all, not from where my family came from.
And which part of Staffordshire? Do you know the names of the villages that they were living in?
Tipton. Tipton is one name. I've researched that. We have some relatives buried in Tipton. The rest of it, they're scattered because with 12 in the family, they all got married and disappeared and had 12 more kids. You know, it was seems to be the normal in those days. Many people think that Yorkshire, not only was it the biggest coal mine area, but it was the first. Not at all. Yorkshire was probably the last to be found. But when it was Stampede City. Everybody wanted to come up to Yorkshire.
But had the coal run out in Staffordshire by the time they came?
I don't think it had, but I think people were looking, they were scratching a living. And they were promised a better life. It was my great-grandfather Thomas who left Staffordshire, brought his small family in those days to Methley. I presume he got a job in Methley Junction, because I have no record except for myself who worked at the Savile Pit, which was a Methley colliery. The other one was Methley Junction, so I reckon that that's where they lived.
So your granddad, where was your granddad born then?
He was born in Staffordshire. He was 12 years old when he came with his father Thomas and his mother to Methley.
And when did your granddad start work?
Well, in those days you started work at 14. And like any other miner, you start at the bottom and you work your way up. Now, I suspect that my grandfather worked at Methley Junction. But when Water Egg was a baby pit, they wanted to sink some more shafts. And my grandfather became a shaft sinker. I find it very hard to research whatever he did or which shaft he was. He was certainly not in that disaster when it collapsed and those men got killed. But he was there, maybe not on the right shift. But in so doing, he worked his way up. And by the end, he was the foreman shaft sinker.
And do you have any knowledge that was given to you about precisely what a shaft sinker did?
Yes, my father said it was one of the probably the hardest job down a coal mine was sinking the shaft. It was the most dangerous. He did say that after that, my grandfather, Joseph, must have made a really good name for himself, because he became what you call, in those days, the management or the owner didn't pay everybody that worked, he paid butty men. He had so many butty men, he paid them for what amount of coal they got out of the pit, and the butty men paid the men who he'd so the butty men was actually employing the men.
Yeah, they were like subcontractors, effectively.
Yes, you had to turn up at the pit in the morning, line up, and maybe four or five butty men would say, you, you and you. Those that weren't picked had to go home. And then at the end of the week, the owner would pay the butty man, and the butty man then would pay the people that he'd employed.
And that when they gave the money out, that usually took place in the pub, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yeah. And where did your granddad fit into that? What was his role in the butty men system?
Well, he was a butty man. He had worked his way up. He'd proved himself. Subsequently, all his four sons joined him, in so much that all the five of them, my grandfather and his four sons, completed 50 years service. Now, when you look at the lifespan of Woodlesford Pit, was 60 years. One family of five getting 50 years in, I mean, that takes some doing.
It does, doesn't it?
Because what I do remember distinctly is my father sitting down with me over a pint one day and saying all about the Depression. Now, they all lived in a small house in Main Street, which was part of what you call Jingo Nick, which is Denison Square, very famous in the days in Methley. It was a great place because it was everybody, nobody locked the doors. If your mother fell ill, another lady would pick you up from school and feed you till your mother. It was a lovely, lovely place. Now, my grandfather and his four sons and his two daughters lived in this house. And my father said, my dad used to get up and be out of the house at 5 o'clock. He would walk all the way past Saville Pit, up the Mulberry, up Methley Lane, and walk to the Water 8 Colliery. We would set off at 5:30. My brothers and I, the four brothers, would all walk the same route, stand in line at Water 8 Colliery. The butty men would come round and say, you, you, you and you. And he said many a time all the four, my brothers, the four of us would have to turn round and go home. And I said, Dad, that is not. I'd have expected my granddad would have picked you. And he said, no, son. Everybody had to eat. It was sacrosanct that they tried to make sure that everybody had something, even if it was only one day's pay.
During the Depression, what you're saying is there was this informal system where the butty men decided who would get the work, but they would share the work out amongst them.
Correct. He said, and many a time, myself and my four brothers have had to walk home.
So tell me about your granddad's four sons then.
The eldest son was Joseph Harold. Then there was my father closely behind him, Lawrence. Then there was Jack, a bachelor all his life. And then there was Bernard. They were the sons. Then there was Olive and Ruby. Jack was a ripper. My father worked on the coal face. Bernard, I think, was on the haulage. He was what we call out-by workers. So the big hitters was my granddad, my dad, and Jack. Jack, because back ripping in those days was hard work as well. It was.
Most of the stories that you're telling me came through your father, didn't they?
My father, yes.
Yeah.
He then went on to become a shop fighter. And then he became a deputy until he retired. He was of the area. Albert Roberts was one of his best mates, who became the MP for Rothwell. They all started down the pit. They got their hands dirty, let's put it that way.
Go back to your granddad. What do you know about how he got the coal? Was he a pick and shovel man, or did he use machinery?
No, I think it was all hand getting in those days. He'll have had a stint, you see. A stint was when mechanisation first came in. But before that, there were hand getting holes. they're driving all in, and you'd go in, and so many men would be pick and shovel, and you'd go in a tub and out of the pit. Those faces were probably 60 to 100 yards long, whereas in the modern eras, they were 200 yards long. You know, I worked at Kellingley, completely different to the first day I went down Savile. You know, you were working in 2 foot seams. It's horses for courses, but in most cold seams, there was a muck band, and that muck band could be 6 inches to a foot, and you had a machine that went in and went along and cut it. And after they cut it, the drillers would come in and drill the holes. The shot firer would come in and put the shots in and fire the coal. It would drop, and then the men would go with the shovels, and it's called a stint. And a stint was so many yards. Normally, I'd say 7 yards. They had to fill off onto a conveyor belt that actually ran top and bottom just on the floor. It didn't have any rollers or anything. And the term, have you filled off? That is a term. And often my dad would say, we all used to have bad days, but you had to get that stint clean. It had to be off. So if you filled off before your mates, in other words, completed your 7 metres, and he was studdling, you wouldn't just go out of the phase. You would give him an hand so that you could... There was a lot of friendship, you know, there. Because don't forget, down a pit, you were only as safe as what your mate had left his place. You all depended on each other for safety. That is the number one thing down a coal mine. And you'll often, where I lived, in my family here, a saying that says, they'll do for me. That meant I don't have to look over my shoulder. When I'm working with you, I know I'm safe. It's a very big honour. It's a big statement.
And did your dad say anything about who your grandfather's mates were at Waterhaig? Did he mention any other... Are there any other family names that you know from the pit, from that period?
Not from my grandfather. I know, in the private life, I know quite a lot about my grandfather. I know his mate was the Sergeant Connor of Methley. They used to go around...
The copper?
A copper sergeant.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were both heavy drinkers. They could put it back. My grandma told me stories about my grandfather. He worked hard, but he played hard. Mainly in those days it was with the beer.
Did Joseph have a hobby? Did he do anything else apart from go to the pub?
No. Oh. But he had some friends. And in Methley, the Bay Horse, let's put it this way, it's still classed, it's not there anymore, but it was always classed as the union office. And he only lived, let's say, 50 metres from the Bay Horse door. And he had another friend, Ernie Bell, it was his name, another miner, and they were best mates. But as usual, my grandma used to say, my grandfather would wake up, he'd come home drunk, he'd go to bed, he'd wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd say to him, Joseph, what are you doing? And he'd say, I'm going to stop those bloody bells from ringing. And I said, what did he mean by that, Grandma? He said, they'd have had an argument in pub over something. And he was going to go, and he'd get up and go knock on the door and say, Ernie, get down here, I'm going to smash your face in, and things like that. He says, and next morning they were best mates. He said,
he was fairly typical then.
Very typical.